Thank you, Mr. Love. Afternoon, brethren. Happy Sabbath. It was interesting to see with all what's going on around the country, and I had the pleasure of, thank you, sir, being up in the Massachusetts area a couple weeks ago, and actually went to down to Cape Cod, and then over to, of all places, I was in Plymouth, and I was standing there next to Plymouth Rock, and it was quite interesting in the sense that the comments that were taken off of Facebook, you know, how many people said, oh, it was pretty underwhelming, you know. I'm like, why? You know, well, it's just a rock. Well, it is just a rock. You know, what'd you expect it to be? You know? But it was interesting to think that ahead of those people was a land full of Native Americans. Behind them, they left a land where they thought they had no more fortune. And boy, did they have a clue as to what their journey of discovery was about to bring them and how they would change the course of history. And we find that in the Bible. You know, we have new beginnings all throughout the Bible. You know, when you think of the stories that are recorded in the Bible and many of the statements we make, what we read in the Bible, it's very interesting to think about, you know, when Noah, eight people. Can you imagine when you're in, you know, when you go around this globe, when you go to the feast site and you see all the millions of people in each city, and there's only eight. Wow, that's a new beginning. Abraham in Genesis 12, you know, you think about his start. You know, get you out of this land and let's get going. Moses, and, you know, hey, look, take these people, all of these people, and go out in the desert. I don't think he knew it was going to be for as long a period as he spent out there, but he took some time out there, but God told him to get started. You know, when we think of the Bible and new beginnings and rallying cries, you know, to be around, I mean, I love the sermonette because that was fitting in the sense that, you know, well, I'll read it for you if you want to write it down. It's Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day from whom you will serve, whether the gods in which the fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in the land in whom you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Brethren, that's our cry. As for me and my house, no matter what's going on, it is the tie that binds. It's God's Holy Spirit. It's God's agape love that brings us together, that dovetails us to where we are joined and fit as one. Because if you were to, you would think that you had, you can get reporting from on the same story and come out with two completely different outcomes based on who you hear it from. And it can put people at odds, but that can't exist here. Why? Because it's God's Spirit. And it's the love to say, you know what, beyond that, at the end of the day, who am I going to break bread with? Who am I going to spend eternity with? Who are we supposed to follow? When we think of, here you can write this one down too, 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. And Elijah came unto the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Who's your God? We're here to serve the omnipotent God and not allow Satan's craftiness to divide us. We have to stand unified, brethren. But who are we going to follow? How long are you going to halt between two opinions? See, we serve the living God, a quick and powerful and mighty, the almighty God of the universe. Ordinary people. Moses. He started out on the brink of death. Then he became a prince of Egypt. Then he became a humble sheep herder. Then he became a leader of a nation. One thing in common, one thing that's consistent, he was just a man. He was just a man, just like you and I are living human beings. And God gave him a task to do, and he went and did it. But he was just a man. Elijah, Elisha, all of these guys we speak of, they're no different than you and I. I went and seen the movie Hidden Figures, and just to see the young lady, it's talking about the young ladies, the African-American ladies at NASA, who before computers became the rage, there were people that actually had blackboards that were taller than this room to figure out all the calculations to get the guys back to Earth, to get send up the ship, bring the ships back down. Well, as it stands, when you see a child, that the lady who that the show was based on, when you see the child, she was gifted. Numbers to her just clicked. I'm not in that same category. I'm not gifted. I'm just a humble guy as much as you, and I don't know what your special gift are, I'm sure, but the one gift we have in common is God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. If we are baptized members of God's church, and we are seeking to do his will, and we allow God's Holy Spirit to dwell within us and to grow, then we become a part of that family. And it keeps us from saying, you know what? Oh, I don't know if I can walk with those people anymore. I don't know. You know, and as an announcement, the title of today's message is A Day of Discovery. And I wanted to go over how God is so intricately involved in your life, how that he's calling you. And as Dr. Zimmerman used to say, what's your name? What's your name? Who do you think he's talking to when he talks to you in these scriptures? It's you. He wants you to be a part of his family. And the promises he gave, if we choose to obey him, see, there's no lack of resolve on God's part. He wants to bring to fruition. He will bring to fruition, with or without us, hopefully with us being a part of his family. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 1. See, this message was written to Joshua. In Joshua 1 and verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' ministering, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Even every place that the sole of your foot has tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said, unto Moses. See, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land, but Joshua was leading the people. And down in verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall I divide an inheritance or the land which I swear to give to your fathers. See, being strong and of good courage, brethren, we're in a situation right now where we do have to be strong and of good courage to break ranks with the ways of this world, to say, to take sides. That's where we're at now. Do you think Satan doesn't have a hand in what's being said? Where do you think this is coming from? No one. You have the one version of the story, another version of the story, and then you have the truth. Stick with the truth. Stick with the trunk of the tree. And stick with God's people. And be merciful to one another. Be kind, be loving, be caring Why? Because God tells us to do so. And as the Holy Spirit inculcates us, brings us to another level of understanding, we're not XYZ news agency or ABC news agency. We determine and decipher on the fruits of God's merit and God's word. And is it based on love? Or is it based on what's best for me? There's so much moving forward that we have to come to understand. See, it's stirred. It's really stirred. Again, seeing all the different parts of the country, it's amazing how far apart sides are and how divided this country is. And what does it say? A divided country will not stand. And that can't be in God's church. Now more than ever, we have to decide and take into our hearts and get on our knees and say, God, please help me to see it the way that you would have me to see it. Not the way that XYZ news agency wants me to see it. Not the way that CYV news agency wants me to see it. I can't base it on that. I have to base it on the merits of his fruits and according to God's will. So as we approach all these new days of discovery, these discoveries of where we're going to be and going on beyond the next horizon, because when you look off from a hill and you see the other summit, there's a lot of peaks and valleys in between before you get to that next summit. And that's where we're at, brethren. We're going to go through trials. Some are going to be good. Some are going to be hard. Some are going to be interesting. Some are going to test our mettle to see what we're made of. But the one thing that's always common, God's with you. God wants you to see. You know, when we read in Exodus all of what Israel was going through, God never left them. He was a pillar of fire and a cloud. He was right there with them. See, when they thought that they were on their own or being cursed, God was providing manna. God provided water from a rock. And over in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 11, let's go there. The battle that we face is a battle of giving ourselves 100% to an attitude, to a thought process, to a mindset that is contrary to this world. And we'll get into that. So we can look, the day of discovery is looking beyond the next horizon. But when we read over in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 11, and it says that it came to pass as they fled in Israel, speaking of a battle that they were in, and going down to Beth-Rehon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon the Azekah, unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than with whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. See, God can fight our battles for us. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand you still upon Gibeon, you moon in the valley of Ajalon. Verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. It is not written in the book of Jasher. So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hastened not to go down for about a whole day. And there was no day like it before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto his voice, a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Brethren, that's us. We're the new Israel. We're God's servants. He will fight for us. Can you imagine he stopped the whole universe? Trillions upon trillions of planets for a request. God has no variance. We do. Our goal is to be like God. See, we are only seeing things through a veil right now. We're having trouble seeing the marvelous light. And as we get closer to God, as we shed the worldly experience that we have, we understand the wisdom from above is much more powerful than the wickedness of our adversaries' worldly wisdom. It's truly amazing to me to see what goes on around the world and to see what's happening in our cities. And it's just beyond, because that's just affecting us as a country, not let alone the rest of the world. No, God will provide for us when we need it, how we need it. Our shoes will not wear out. Our manna will not be dried up. And he will take us to the end of our journey when our discovering days in this physical form are done. He's going to bring us to the end. And then we get a new spiritual body and we continue to grow and to continue the journey and to discover more. We've just started scratching the surface. So we have as an objective to keep moving forward. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 10. You know, the situation where Moses was on the Red Sea and the Pharaoh was behind him. We see that Moses here in Exodus 14, verse 10, it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto one another, cried unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore you have dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And is this not the word that we tell you in Egypt? Let us alone. They have may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto them, Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which you will show this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen this day, you shall see no more forever. Verse 14, The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then God interrupted and said unto Moses, Why are you crying to me, Moses? Speak unto the children. Come on, let's go. Move forward. So we have an objective to continue to keep moving forward. Whether it's for the past 8 years, the next 4 years, next 8 years, next 20 years, how does that affect you with your relationship with God? Hopefully you're getting closer. Hopefully you're getting closer to God. No matter what all these distractions are, again, a mirror will not shine, we will not reflect in darkness. We need to be in the light to reflect God's greatness. We need to have his light shining at us. See, we make a lot of decisions in our lives, directions that sometimes point us in the wrong direction, sometimes in the right direction. But we got to move forward knowing that Jesus Christ, God the Father, are there with us, and we have to do the things that they tell us. Change is a constant for us. We can't say, oh, I'm all done, God. No, we don't get that choice. Growth in our understanding is required. Growth according to God's way and God's will. See, we see a lot of people, knowledge is futile. See a lot of people that are extremely wise. There's so many new inventions, so many new things on the horizon. Every time you turn on your TV or you turn on YouTube and they're showing you the next invention, do you realize God made this? He's allowing us to have that little spark of knowledge, or mankind to have that little spark of knowledge. And some knowledge has been around for a long time, that some people will take and hide it, or they don't want to share it. because they haven't figured out how they can put a booth up in front of it to make money off of it? Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 28 and begin in verse 11. And here in speaking about our adversary, in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11 said, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyrus, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of your tabrets and the pipes were prepared in the day that you were created. You are an anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways until you were perfect in the ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity, lawlessness was found in you. By the multitudes of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from in the midst of the fiery stones. The multitude of violence." And you think about, does that sound familiar? See, we go to and fro. Everybody wants. Money, money, money. And values placed on wood, paper money, rocks, diamonds, metal, gold, all things from the earth, all things that God wants, all things that God, he owns those things. When you die, or when we die, when all of mankind dies, it goes back to the earth. You can't take it with you. What's the value when there's no food, or when there's no water, no clean water to drink? It reminds me of the scene from the Titanic when the guy is trying to play the porter as the ship is sinking. He's like, "What am I going to do with this money? What am I going to do with it? Why are you giving me money? It doesn't mean anything." And see, we have the opportunity to understand now that it really doesn't mean anything. See, money has enslaved, and it's from this whole system, the whole Babylonian system, is from our adversary, Satan. And we see this, and there's value placed on things, and it's a way to enslave people. It's a way to say, "I have more, you have less, you serve me because I want more, and I don't want you to have any." When God gives freely, there's enough. You can create power. I'm in the energy business, part of my consulting services in the energy business, and a NASA scientist came up with, he can create all the power you need the size of a box no bigger than this little lectern right here, this lectern, that would work your whole house with natural gas and sand. It's called the Bloom Box. Where'd it go? That was 10 years ago. Now, there's multi-billion dollar corporations that have them, but that never made it to the average man. See, they weren't able to put a booth in front of it and sell it. Nikola Tesla wanted to give free energy to everybody. And Westinghouse and all of the people back then said, "Are you crazy? We can make millions off of this." You know, see, if we were to see the intrinsic value of not trying to keep something for ourselves, or not trying to build wealth that's going to rot and die, I just say, place your value with God, because again, as we know, as it says in the scriptures, they will throw their money in the streets. And a system that we see right now is based on violence and tumult. Why? Because we have people, the haves and the have-nots, the cans and the wills. And it's not about what we see in the media. It's not. It's about how we can, how Satan can keep us from seeing God's greatness. At the end of the day, when you think about it, what does Satan use? Fear, doubt, worry, and human reasoning. And as long as he can put at odds people, for whatever reason, whether it's the color of your skin, whether it's your income bracket, whether it's your language, whether it's what part of the globe you're from, these are all instances where Satan can utilize it and say, God, look, these are my people because they just want violence and hatred. We're different. We're this little tiny spot over here. It says, God, we want to do your will no matter what. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing wealth. I'm not. It's just seeing where this value system, the whole value system comes from. And we always get stuck at the ceiling height of our adversary. And most people, unlike us, we see the value system that God owns it all anyway. And that's what, you know, we're turning the world upside down, as it says in Acts 17 and verse 6. Why? Because we see the value in giving, sharing, having brotherhood, friendship, having a common spirit, being bathed in agape love according to God's will, serving one another. See, we're preparing for eternity, a newness of life, a day of discovery for many people that they don't understand. But we do. We do. We have the opportunity. So we discover a reason. There is a greater understanding as to why we're doing what we're doing. We could go down the stream just like any dead fish, but we choose to fight up the stream. Why? Because we see value in what's being told to us. Our ability to obey, to see the need to obey. And, you know, to be taught from God's word. Because Satan's mentality is one of being imprisoned. Now, you have the Yuma territorial old prison that this talks about down here. And you have prisons here not far from here. And when you speak to these men, the recidivism rate, the reoccurrences of the crime, and as they become comfortable with, it's like being in a rendering plant. We would walk in and say, wow! And you got other people say, you smell anything? Wait a minute. I used to work in a print shop. And people would walk in and say, man, those solvents are so strong. I couldn't smell them. And it took me a full year before I left the print shop and came back to the print shop. And I walked in and I said, wow, that is strong. But until I got out of that environment, I couldn't see it. I couldn't hear it. I couldn't understand it. I couldn't smell it. Brethren, we're stepping out of the world. And that's where we're at, because our day of discovery is to resolve that it begins with growth, our growth. That little seed, when we go under that watery grave and we have hands laid on us, Our beginning of growth starts there. And guess what? It never ends. It never ends. Where God has no beginning, we have a beginning. But if we will have a physical end, but our spiritual end is forever. Mere lumps of clay. A wonderful God who's allowing mere lumps of clay to be a part of his spiritual journey, to transform from physical to spiritual. I think in terms of, you know, what God has had to do to keep Satan from having mankind destroy themselves earlier, you know, in Genesis 3:22, it says God had to cut off the tree of life. Why? Because he didn't want mankind to be able to partake of the tree of life in its current form. But we read in Revelations, mankind will be given an opportunity to have that tree of life. In Genesis 11, you can read where it says the languages were confused at the Tower of Babel. Do you realize right now that Japan's working on an elevator to outer space, and they expect to have it done by 2050? 2050. And they showed the prototype, and this thing is massive. See, we're not new. This happened thousands of years ago, that God's been keeping, you know, the languages, you know. And even think about it, like over in Genesis 6:3, where God took it down where men were living 969 years, 900 years. How much knowledge can you acquire in that amount of time? Well, God cut it down in Genesis 6:3 to 120. And then when you read in Psalms, you can write this one down too, Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10, it's down to 70. Let's go over to Hosea chapter 4. In Hosea chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of the God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the lands will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beast of the field and the birds of the air. Even the fish in the sea will be taken away. Now let no man contend or rebuke another. For your people are like the people who contend with the priests. Therefore they shall stumble in that day, and the prophet also shall stumble with you at night. And I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because I have rejected knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children." Brethren, we're destroyed for lack of knowledge, not physical knowledge, because we are at a time when we're discovering incredible things technology-wise. But where does God fall in right now for the rest of the world? And when you think of regimes that come on, such as North Korea, or back in the 70s with the Khmer Rouge and Pol Pot, you know, they would force whole societies into slavery. And they wanted to destroy people who had any type of knowledge. There's a whole new discovery coming for mankind. And God is great. And the future for mankind is great. And all of Satan's craftiness will be obliterated. See, one thing about it, God is great and Satan is not. And God always has the last say. And the scriptures are not stagnant. We have to continue to grow. What we've developed, what we are learning, And Satan would have work on you to say, oh, well, I know all about the holy days, Sabbath, clean, unclean meats. We're all set. We're not the only church that believes that anymore. Okay? Is there new scriptures? No. But is there a new, is God opening our eyes to understand the deepness of God's love towards one another? You got to be a humble person to see what God has in store for us. So, you know, in part of discovery, I was, again, when I was in Massachusetts, you know, you found long roots. And most of those people have been there generations. And there's a lot of buildings there from the 1700s, 1800s. When I was in Iowa last week, you have a humble people, very humble, very slow to change. I tell my wife, I said, you know, I can go basically to the same place and know that they're playing cards Saturday night at the same spot. And I went back 30 years later, right? It's been 13 years since I've been back there. And she says, no. I says, watch. And I took her. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I enjoyed talking to the farmers up there. I enjoyed talking to the people up there. But it's different. And, you know, in Massachusetts, the sense of history, looking out at Martha's Vineyard and going to the JFK Memorial there and on Cape Cod, and then being in Dallas shortly after that, and the connection between, you know, Massachusetts and Dallas with the JFK in both areas, it just really made it, it brought the story full circle for me. These are all people we have to go look forward to work with. And help them to discover what we're discovering, brethren. It's not gloom and doom. There's a bright horizon out there for us, filled with God's love, filled with God's energy, filled with his compassion, filled with his joy. See, when we read the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, happiness, we don't see a whole lot of that. But we have to eschew the world, get rid of it whilst we're here, and say, thank you, God, for allowing us to be here together. You know, when I was in Washington, D.C., this was some years back, and I read on the Korean War Memorial, freedom is not free. I dare say true freedom was bought and paid for by our Savior and King. Sin is not free, because it requires death. Brethren, the ongoing discovery of just how genuine God's love is for us and towards all mankind, it will be expounded throughout the whole world, and not only the whole world, but the entire universe. It's never going to stop. Fear wanes as you discover God's goodness and mercy. Thank God every day that we have the opportunity to have a new day of discovery.